Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Teresa Plins, chaplain of the Catholic community. It is the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle B.
You gotta love Peter. Bold and brash, he is the patron saint for all who speak without thinking. He's my patron saint. Peter had just proclaimed Jesus to be the Messiah, but he won't let Jesus be the Messiah the Father or Jesus wants. Peter has his own agenda. Sometimes we have our agenda for God too. And one wonders if Peter was really listening to Jesus all during their journeys. When Jesus said the Messiah must suffer greatly, be rejected and killed, Peter just has to object. Peter loved his friend. He didn't want him to suffer. And Peter was not alone. He said what the others were thinking. And Jesus responds with words that must have deeply hurt Peter. Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking as God does, but as human beings do. Jesus threw cold water of rebuke to wake Peter up. Peter, listen. Peter, think. Please note, Jesus doesn't send Peter away. He says, get behind me. Peter, get back in line. But why did Jesus react so strongly? Because Peter was literally, actually tempting Jesus like Satan. Jesus was actually tempted. Can you believe that? Who wants to be rejected, suffer, and die? Yet he is the Father's beloved Son, but he's also the child of his times and culture, just as we are children of ours. Our environment, our culture, shapes our feelings, dreams, and desires. We really deeply affect each other. Jesus felt that too. Wouldn't it have been fun to be the kind of Messiah John preached and the people wanted? Expel the tyrannical Romans. Give justice to the poor. Feed the hungry. End crushing taxes. Remove oppressive overlords. And make Israel great again. Give us the avenging Messiah. In an age of rage, it's tempting to want the Messiah we want. But that's not what the Father is offering. Like us, Jesus had to choose which voice would he hear, the Father's or his society's? He chose to see people with the Father's heart, to hear the cry of the poor, to be the good shepherd, to forgive the sinner, to heal the broken. Jesus chose to hear the Father's voice. Will you? Will I? Jesus bids us take up our cross and follow. That always struck me as strange. Those words would have meant little to Jesus' hearers before his death and resurrection. So what did Jesus say? And what did the people hear? The Greek word staros, cross, probably meant originally not the gibbet, but the tau or chi, two letters, the signs of ownership with which cattle were branded. Jesus is asking, who owns your heart? Who owns your heart? Whose mark do you carry and bear by your life? The world's or the Father's? Jesus chose the cross of self-sacrificing love. Will you, will I? Will we say that love truly is stronger than death? Our thinking is only as real as our listening and our choosing to act. Our chosen actions express and shape us, and explore what that might mean today, Teresa.
Did you catch the very first line of scripture that we heard tonight? The Lord God has opened my ear. And with that line, the prophet's gift tumbles out of Isaiah's suffering servant, out of the servant's mouth, and right here into the midst of our community. The Lord God has opened my ear. To what? What do we hear if God is the one who has unstopped our ears? Might we hear thousands of abuse victims crying for justice? Might we hear thousands of terrified refugees crying for the bombing to stop in Syria? Might we hear thousands of children crying because they are hungry? Or might we hear the one person sitting next to you today or tomorrow at work or in class or in your labs crying because they need someone to listen? And whose voices will remain silent, requiring a prophet to speak for them or to simply be with them? Who are the lambs of God among us? The ones most adversely affected by the spider web of power and greed? The ones who are used by the rest of us to carry all our sins? Who are the ones whom Jesus would embrace most today? Where does mercy need to flow? For it is only through the mercy and grace of God that we receive gifts of prophecy. Those gifts that open us to the compassion of Jesus. And having our ears opened, that's only the beginning. I wonder if we're courageous enough to pray the rest. To pray, open my mind to know what to do. Open my heart to understand the importance of what to do, and open my lips to speak and act in accordance with God's will for me. Can we undertake this prayer and its consequences? Most of the biblical prophets could not, at least at first. There were a multitude of excuses. They were too young, or they were too old, or they were not qualified. And God had to employ some interesting tactics to refocus them. Remember the whale that brought one of them back? And even Peter, who was the future leader of the church, was lovingly confused, fearful, and absent when the consequences of following Jesus were all spelled out on that night before the crucifixion. So most of us, if we are honest, I think would rather do anything but be a prophetic voice. We are generally fine with praying. We are generally fine with charitable giving. We are generally fine with being kind to one another. We are good people. We are, however, often resistant and ill-equipped to be prophetic voices advocating for God's kingdom. Yet that is what Jesus is calling us to do. He says to lose your life for his sake. What does that mean? To lose your life for God's kingdom, the kingdom that would turn many of our rules and institutions and ways of thinking upside down and inside out. So the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. If you want to follow Jesus, start praying for mercy. Start praying for mercy to guide us, mercy to heal us as a church and as a society, mercy to open our ears and our minds and our hearts and our lips, mercy to give us hope, and mercy to have the courage to bring that hope to others. Isn't it possible that God is asking us to change the church? To do things in a new way so that innocent children are never harmed again? Isn't that possible? Isn't it possible that God is calling us to prophesy, to dream a new reality, and to work to bring it into being? Not just to pray. And isn't it possible that one of the fathers who stood here only a few weeks ago celebrating the baptism of his child in this very church, isn't it possible that he will not have to say, "I'm having second thoughts about this"? Isn't it possible that our faith will be reflected in the work which we do, even when that work is difficult? Mother Teresa of Calcutta was once asked how she could possibly keep working when the poverty was so extreme that there seemed to be no point in doing what she was doing every day. And she responded, but God has not called me to be successful. God has called me to be faithful. And as we respond to God's call in our lives, let us be open to being broken open. Let us be brave, and let us be faithful. And let us do all of this, all that we do, all in the arms of God's mercy.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.